Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Megillah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Taub, Lizchus Refuah Shleima, Moshe Nachman ben Malka Miriam.
Megillah Daf Tesvov. The Gemara explains that when Esther sent a message to Mordechai, saying, "Uvchein avoy el ha-melech asher lo yichados, v'chasher avarati, avarati," her kavana was, "Kishem she'avarati mi-beis abba, kach oivad mimcha." Meaning that even though she was Nevelis up until now to Achashverosh many times, but till now it was an Oynis, so that didn't make her Usser to her husband Mordechai. However, at this point she was going to be doing it Meratzin, and then she was going to be Nevad from him. So Rashi explains, Kishem she'avarati mi-beis abba, just like I was already avarati mi-beis abba, which means because, as we learned in the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel, she was a Yisayma from her father and mother, I'm going to lose you because I'm going to become usher to you. Tosfos over here in the Bramaschal Kishem asks Vim Toimer, Amai loy hoya megarsha utehim uteres lachzirena. Why didn't Mordechai just give her a get, and at that point she will no longer be married to him, and then if she's mizana with Achashverosh, she could always come back to Mordechai later? Because, as Mavur in the Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Ches Mabez, if a man is megarish his wife, and she doesn't get married to somebody else, she's only mizana with somebody else, that doesn't answer her on her first husband. And of course, being married to Achashverosh is not halachically considered marriage, it's not toifis. So Tosfos answers, Yeshleimer lefishiko maseh haget to al pi edim v'yayorei pen yisparsei madavar l'malchus. Since a get requires edim, it's something that could become nisparsim. People will find out about it, and the news could even reach Achashverosh, and that would be very dangerous. However, the Rashba asks that there's a way to be megarish and isha without using edim, because as is mavur in the Mishnah in Gittin daf peivav mid aleph, that if a person writes a get to an isha with his own ksav yad midairaisa, that's just as valid as having two edim on the get. And the Rashba adds that this anyway would have been a good etza for Mordechai to do, because even without the problem of becoming usher to Mordechai, there's really an issue of the actual bia to Achashverosh, because Kolzman she's married to Mordechai, she's an eshes ish, and she's not allowed to be mezana. And we know Gilei Arayis is one of the three Averis Chamuras that we say Yehareg Val Yavar. So until now, the fact that she was Nevelis to Achashverosh and wasn't Mechuyev to give up her life so as not to be Nevelis to him, Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dal Amud Beis and in Ksubas Daf Gimel explain al pi the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Ayin Dal Amud Beis that says the Svara of Esther Karka Oilam Hoysa. The Gemara is really using it to explain why it was mutter to her, even though it was Befar Hesya, and that was an Isser of Chil Hashem. And the Gemara says that since she was only Karka Oilam, which means that the Isha is only passive in the Maisabia, so there's no chiyuv for her to give up her life for Chil Hashem, explains Tosfos that is the answer to why she wasn't mechuyev to give up her life and not be megala arayis, because karka oilam is matir. So the Rashba understands that svara of karka oilam is only a svara that we say when she's an oynis. But if she does it meratzin, then even though in the actual maisa bia she's only a passive member, it doesn't make a difference because she initiated it. And therefore he says, how could she have been nevelis? Hashto birtsoina nevelis v'tiharig v'al taver. V'ilu hoysa migarsha b'ksav yodai loy hoysa iveris alisa arayis. If Mordechai would actually divorce her using ksav yad, then there would be no problem. The Rashba ends off by saying, Elo shedivre agadahein v'ein meshivin alehen. Now the assumption that the Rashba makes that the heter that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Karka Oilam, which the Gemara uses Ligabe the din of Chil Hashem, and the Rishonim extend it to explain why she wasn't Mechuyev to sacrifice her life in order to avoid Gilei Arayis. And the Rashba, like we said, is assuming that Svara is only a Svara when it's being done b'oynis, but in the event, like she was about to do now, she was going to be nevelis miritzoina, you don't say the svar of karka oilam. That assumption is not muskim l'kol. Not everybody agrees to it. Because according to the Rabbeinu Yoina in the Suga Sanhedrin, and the Shitsa Tosfos over there, just like the svara of karka oilam helps le'inyan, the din of Chil Hashem, that a person who is only a passive member of a Maisa Aveira, if their life is being threatened, even if that Aveira is done b'farhesya, they're not mechuyev to give up their life, since they're only passive. And just like le'inyan, the din of Gilui Arayos, a person's usually chayev to give their life up for Gilui Arayos. Nevertheless, when that person is a passive member, karka oilam, they're not mechuyev to give up their life. So too, even when their life is not being threatened, like in our case where Esther was coming out of her own ratzon, since the reason why she was doing it was in order to save Klal Yisrael, you also say the svara of karka oilam. Because after all, there was a pikuach nefesh factor. So just like legabe her own life, we don't say the klal that we usually do, which is that Gilui Arayos is one of Gimel Averos Chamuris, and she's mechuyev to sacrifice her life. And that is because of karka oilam, she's only a passive member. So too, legabe the pikuach nefesh of everybody else in Klal Yisrael, we don't say the rule that she should not be over the Avera Gilui Arayos to save their lives only because of karka oilam. The Rashba is clearly drawing a distinction between the two things. The Rashba holds that it may be true that the Svara of Karka Olam is matir Esther not to give up her life when her own life was being threatened. However, when it comes to saving the rest of Klal Yisrael, we don't say the Svara of Karka Olam. What's the Hezber in the Machloikis? Says Rabbi Chanan in Ksubas Dav Gimel Mebeis that the Machloikis is totally on the Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand the Svara of Karka Olam. Rashi in Sanhedrin explains Karka Olam means, like we explained, that she's a passive member in the Maisa Bia. However, the Ramban over there in the Machamis explains that the Yisoid of the Svara of Karka Olam is that since they could do the act of Ve'ila to her, Bal Karcha, whether she's willing to give up her life or not, they could force her, so it doesn't help her to give her life up, because the Goy is going to do whatever he wants. And Rabbi Chanan explains that according to Rashi and Tosfos, Karka Olam is on a lower level than all other Gilui Arayos. It doesn't have the same Chomer as regular Gilui Arayos. And it's Nidche Mipnei Pikuach Nefesh like all other Isurim. It's like it's not part of the three Gimel Averos Chamuris. Masha'enken, according to the Ramban, Karka Olam is only a Svara that's used when the Isha herself is being threatened with her life. It's not that Karka Olam says that now Gilui Arayos for a woman is Nidche Mipnei Pikuach Nefesh. Rather, it's a svara that says that when the Isha herself is being threatened, it's pointless for her to give up her life because it's going to happen anyway. Mela, we could explain the machloikis between Tosfos and the Rashba as well. If you say that Karka Olam is a svara that downgrades the level of Gilui Arayos of the Isha and makes it just like any other Aveira that's Nidche Mipnei Pikuach Nefesh, then you would say the Svara of Karka Olam to save other members of Klal Yisrael as well. However, if you say that really an Isha's role in the Maisa Bia is on the same level of Chumrah as a man's role, and Karka Olam is only a Svara Mesuyemis when her life is being threatened, because we say that it's going to happen whether she likes it or not, then there will be no heter to allow Gilui Arayos when it's coming to save other people, because her life is not being threatened. And that is the Rashba's taina. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Nedib Yehuda. This is the Madura Tinyona, Chelik Yerudeya, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph. And over there he brings a famous tshuvas Marik. The Marik is Moichiach. He proves from our Gemara, the Yisoid, that an Isha is Naseris al Baila, even if Alpidin, she's allowed to be Mezana Tachtov. And that is Kolzman, the Maisa Bia was done Beratzen, like you see in the case of Esther. Because we know that Esther, in our case, in order to save Klal Yisrael, was allowed to go and be Nivelas Tachashverish. Now, says the Marik, why is that true? Inasmuch as Alpidin, it's mutter for her to do the Maisa Bia, why should that aser her on her husband? Clearly there was no Gilui Arayos issue. So from this, the Marik builds his Yisoid, a famous Yisoid, which is that the Isser of an Isha Shezinsa to her husband is not a product of the Bein Adam Lamakam, the Isser in the Torah to be Mezana Tachas Baila. Even if for some reason it's not aser for her to do the act, Rather, the Marik is medayik from the lashon of the pasuk. It says, "Ish ish kisista ishtoi u'mo'al avoy mo'al." She was moil in him, in her husband, which means that the whole iser soita, the iser of an isha shezintza tachas baila, is predicated on the violation of the relationship between her and the husband. It's not because of what Hashem told her not to do, because here we have a case where Hashem is telling her that you're mechuyev because of pikuach nefesh to save Klal Yisrael. Rather, it's built on the betrayal of the relationship to her husband. Since meiratzin, she's being mezana, tachas, baila, that automatically assers her to her husband. Says the Noda Yehuda, there is no raya from our Gemara like the Yisoid of the Marik, because he brings down the Rashba's Kasha as to why didn't Mordechai give her a get. As we said, the Rashba asks a step further than Tosfos. Tosfos says that he didn't want Achashverosh to find out about it. The Rashba then says, well, you have an Eitzah, you could give her a get, b'ksav yodoy. And this would not only help Le'inyan Mordechai becoming usher to her, it also would remedy the problem of Gilui Rais itself. That was the Rashba's Kasha. Says the Nodib Yehuda, a very innovative pshat. He says we could learn in the Gemara that kasher avarati avarati does not mean Esther was not saying that she would become usher on Mordechai. Rather, Esther really received a get from Mordechai b'ksav yad. So halachically, she was totally mutter tachashverish. The problem of kasher avarati avarati, that she was lost to Mordechai, says the Rabbi Yehuda, is because now it would be impossible for Mordechai to marry her back. Because for Kedushin and Chuppah, you definitely need Edim. So Mordechai would have no way of getting married again to Esther, and therefore, Kasher Avarati Avarati. He says that's how you could learn the Gemara, and the Mela, there is no Raya from our Gemara to the Yisod of the Marik. Perhaps when it's mutter for a woman, for whatever reason, to do a Maisa Bia, she does not become Aser to her husband. The Nebi Yehuda adds, though, that from Rashi in our sugya, you do have a right to the Yisod of Marik. Because Rashi's Lashon, Avarati Memcha, Vasura Anilucha, De Eshes Yisrael, Shenensa, Muteres, Labaila, Uverotzen, Asura Labaila. So Rashi clearly is learning that the Kasher Avarati Avarati is based on the Isser to Mordechai. The Nebi Yehuda then goes and continues, and he says, I don't really understand the whole premise that's being made, which is that for pikuach nefesh, a woman would be allowed, birotzen, to be mezana tachas baila. And he even quotes a story that he saw in a certain tshuva. At the time that Nebi Yehuda wrote this tshuva, he says he was in a kfar, he was in some village, so he did not have access to Sfarim, but he believed that it was tshuva's Beis Yaakov. And there, it described a story of Anashim and Nashim Shehochu Baderech, a whole group of Jews that went on a trip, and a bunch of Goyim came and were going to kill them. And there was one woman out of the bunch who was an Ishi Yifas Toyer, and she was successful in seducing the head of the Listim, and that way, everybody else was able to escape. And he says, "Be'upasik b'tshuva he she'shaper avda." She did the right thing, and she did a tremendous mitzvah. Lahatzel nefashis rak she'afal pikein nesra al baila. She still would become usher to her husband. And he brings a raya from Esther. Says in Rabbi Yehuda, "I don't understand why this should be true." And this is the same taina that we mentioned from the Rashba earlier. He says, "We know b'kol misrapim chutz me'avodizor v'gilaraz shvichas damim. A person is not allowed to be misrape using the shel shaveris chamuris. And just like you're not allowed to be misrape, you're also not allowed to save another person's life. You'll ask me, but karka oilam is mutter." He says, "Karka oilam is only a svara when she's anusa al guf habia. Aval hacha she'ena anusa al guf habia, the adraba he mishtadeles lezeh lahatzim lefashis loy mikri karka oilam. V'isha v'ish shavim." So you see that he understands that the svara of karka oilam is not a svara that in the guf maisa bia she is a passive member and therefore it's on a lower level and it's treated like other averis, not like the gimel averis chamuris. It's exactly the same as the agila arayas of a man. There's a svara mesuyemes when an isha is being nensa that we say she's only karka oilam, and that could be explained al pi the Ramban that we mentioned earlier, that it's going to happen no matter what, and therefore, since she's being forced, there's nothing for her to do about it. But in this case where there is something for her to do about it, she doesn't have to be doing this avera. It's like any other of the Gimel Averis Chamuris, and you're not allowed to save lives using it. Why then did Esther do the Aveira, Meirotzen, says the Nadi Yehuda? It says, Esther Shiny, Shahoisa lahatzolas klal Yisrael mehoidu vad kush, ve'en lemeiden hatzolas yechidim mehatzolas klal Yisrael minar vad zokein mehoidu vad kush. And it was a special hayroah of Mordechai Beis Dinoi, v'ulai beruach ha-koydesh. But he says you cannot learn out from there to any other case. Only when it has to do with the entire Klal Yisrael, and maybe it's Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, Mordechai Beis Dinoi, then there was a special heter that was given to Esther at that time. The Gemara brings down the pasuk Vayavar Mordechai, Vayazke Chol Asher Tzivsa Olav Esther. The Gemara says, what does Vayavar Mordechai mean? It's not really the standard Lashon. It should say, Vayelech Mordechai Vayas Kuchel Asher Tzivsa Olav Esther. So the Gemara gives two pshatim. Amar Rav Shehevir Yoim Rishen Shel Pesach B'tainis. The Lashon Vayavar is alluding to the fact that then that Kufa was Pesach. Yud Gimel B'Nisan is when the letters were written and the law was passed. Yud Dalid, Tes Vav, and Tes Zayin, they fasted. And as Rashi says already, Tes Zayin at night is when Haman was hanged. So you see that the Yom Tov of Pesach, he was over that Yom Tov of Pesach with a tainus. He, so to speak, removed the Yom Tov. Hever Rishon Shel Pesach. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, the Over Arkuma Demaya. Rashi and Daf Chof Chesim Beis, the Bermasla Arkuma Demaya, says that an Arkuma Demaya is a Shlulis Shel Mayim Mechunasim. So he passed over a body of water. And the question is obvious. We can understand the pasuk going out of its way to say Vayavar Mordechai to teach us what Rav says, the Hainu, that he caused them not to be choygeg the Yom Tov of Pesach, he had everybody fast. But why would the pasuk go out of its way to write the word Vayavar in order to tell me that he happened to have passed over a body of water? He crossed a puddle while he was going and telling everybody what to do. Why is that information relevant at all? So this question could be answered based on a very important yesod that appears in Ibn Ezra, in the Alshech, and in the Malbim, and there are many psukim in Megillus Esther that could be explained using this yesod. And that is as follows. Sometimes you find the Megillah referring to Shushan as Ha'ir Shushan. And at other times, we find the Megillah talking about Shushan Habira. Why do we sometimes use the term Shushan Habira and sometimes the term Ha'ir Shushan or Stam Shushan? The answer is, if you look in the Ibn Ezra, you'll see this very clearly, that there were two separate places. There was the city Shushan. Many people lived there. In fact, there were many Jews living in Shushan, HaYehudim Asher B'Shushan. However, aside from the Ir Shushan, there was an area that was sectioned off that was called Shushan Habira. That was the complex where all of the government officials lived, where the Melech was, the palace was there, and all of the Sarei HaMelech lived there. And that's why we find that the Megillah telling us, Ish Yehudi, Hoya B'Shushan Habira. In Shushan, the city, there were many Jews. But there was one Jew, Mordechai, who lived in Shushan Habira. And that's the pshat in the pasuk that says, Harotzim Yotzu Dechufim B'Dvar HaMelech, V'Hados Nitna B'Shushan Habira. V'HaMelech V'Homan Yoshvu Lishtois, V'Ir Shushan Navoicha. Says Ibn Ezra that the Ir Shushan was Navoicha. They were confused because they did not know what was going on. The Das was Nitna B'Shushan Habira. The only one who knew what was going on was Mordechai, because he lived in Shushan Habira. He was one of the Sarim. That's what Ibn Ezra says, that the Bira kula hi mishtarsei ha-melech ve'ein sham Yehudi rak Mordechai levadai. Va'ir Shushan, he says, sheshama Yehudim navoicha. Now, says the Alshich, that this complex, which was most probably inside or next to Shushan, the city, was surrounded by an Arkuma Demaya. And this was the common practice in those days to surround the area where the king was by what's called in English a moat, which is like a passage of water, and in order to cross it, you needed a special bridge which they were able to remove or to raise and lower whenever they wanted to. This way there would be more security. It wasn't so easy to infiltrate the Bira of the Melech. You see this yesod in the Malbim as well. V'toymer Esther im al ha-melech toiv yinosin gamochar la-Yehudim asher b'Shushan la'aseis kedos hayoyim. When she asked for permission for the people in Shushan to do what they did on Yud Gimel. Says the Malbim, Amnam lefi daiti hoya bakashasa al shushan ha'ir v'lo shushan abira. Ki shushan nechlekes l'shnei chalokim. Shushan was divided into two parts. Makam abira shesham yashav ha'melech v'asarim v'hi nikres shushan habira v'ha'ir b'fnei atzmai hoisa nikres shushan stam. So on the Yud Gimel, hargu b'shushan habira, they killed their enemies in shushan habira. Ubiksha Esther, Esther Ashiyitim Rishus Larik Biyam Yudalit Ha'oivim Shenisharu B'shushan Ha'ir. And that's why over there in Pasuk Kate says Vayakwa Yehudim B'choloiveim Makaschere V'herig V'abdon U'v'shushan Habira Hargwa Yehudim Chamesh Meis Ish. In Pasuk Yud Aleph it says Vayemuhu Ba Mispar Harugim B'shushan Habira Lefnei HaMelech. Then afterwards in Pasuk Yud Gimel it says Vatoimer Esther Imal HaMelech Toiv Yinasi Gamach La'Yehudim Asher B'shushan. And he says, "Vayomer Melech Leyosis came with nothing does b'shushan." That's why afterwards in Pasuk Tesvav it says, "Vayikalu Ayehudim Asher b'shushan." Gam b'yemer bo asur l'chodesh Adar v'yargu b'shushan, etc. So you see in the Malbim the same Yisoid. Once we know, like the Alshach says, that it was surrounded by an Arkuma de Maya, Shmuel is telling us the Poshet Pshat in Vayavar Mordechai. Vayavar Mordechai, he passed the Arkuma de Maya that separated between Shushan Habira and Shushan Ha'ir so that he could go and tell everybody in Shushan what exactly happened and what they're supposed to do. The Gemara tells us, Vayihi Bayom HaShlishi Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Esther wore, what the Poshet Pshat in the Pasuk is, Bigdei Malchus. But the Gemara says, Bigdei Malchus Mibayilei. It should say, clothing of Malchus. She wore royal clothing. Amar Belazar, Amar B'chanina Malamit Shalav Shasa Ruach HaKodesh. She wore Malchus. Now we have to try and understand how exactly does the word Malchus serve as a remez to the fact that she was Lav Shasa Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara, of course, brings a limud for such a thing, but we want to know why is the midah of Malchus related to Ruach HaKodesh. And furthermore, we have to understand what exactly happened now that prompted Esther to be Lavsha Malchus, which is Ruach HaKodesh. Another difficult Gemara on our Amud is, Va'amar b'lazar amar b'chanina, kala oimer davar b'shem oimroi mevi gu'ula lo'oilom. Anybody who says something over b'shem Omroi, in the name of the person that told it to him, brings geula to the world. Shenemar v'toymer Esther l'melech b'shem Mordechai. Since Esther told Achashverosh about Bigson and Seresh b'shem Mordechai and didn't say it in her own name, that brought geula l'olam. And the question is, why exactly is somebody who says something over b'shem Omroi, why does that bring geula l'olam? So in order to understand these two Gemaras, let's go back to the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is discussing the origin of the name Esther. One opinion in the Gemara before, Reb Nechemya, is that her real name was Hadassah. The reason why she was called Esther is because the Umus HaOlam called her Esther, al shem Istaher. Istaher means the moon. And if this name is chosen by Klal Yisrael to refer to Esther, not just by the Umos HaOlam, that's a simen that the Shoyrish of Esther has something to do with the moon, with the Levana. What exactly is the Shaychus between Esther and the Levana? And what's very striking is that we know that Esther is the Koyach over here that's fighting Amalek. It's through her that Haman has his downfall. And we find somebody else that's referred to as the Levana, who also fights Amalek. The first one to wage war against Amalek in the Torah is Yehoshua. And the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra Dafayin Heyamid Aleph, Pnei Moshe kipnei Chama, Pnei Yehoshua kipnei Levana. So Yehoshua's panim is doime to the Levana. And so we have to understand that as well. Why is it that Yehoshua is doime to the Levana? And why is it that we find that the two people that are nimshal to the Levana fight Amalek? Now, in order to understand this, let's first analyze one more person who is nimshal to the Levana. And this can be found in the Pirush of Rabbeinu Bechaya in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Lamed. This is in Parashas Vayeshev, by the birth of Peretz and Zerach. Over there, the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains extensively how David and the Malchus-based David is nimshal to the Levana. In fact, he explains that Zerach is Miloshen Zricha, it's the Bechina of the Chama. Peretz, he says, is Al Shem the Levana. And that's because the Chama continuously shines. The sun is always shining. But the Levana has times that it's Nifratz. So Peretz is a Loshen of being broken. And he says that that's why Malchus Beis David comes from Peretz, because it's Keneged the Levana. He goes on to explain how the Yemois HaLevana, the days of a lunar month are 29, and that's why we find that from Peretz ben Yehuda until Tzidkiyahu, which is when the Churban Habayis was 29 people. And he lists off all of the Malachim, the generations that started with Peretz and culminate with Tzidkiyahu. Just like the Levana is Sheikaas Achar Choftes Yoim, Kain Malchus Beis David Nifsika V'Charev HaMikdash B'Meid Tzidkiyahu Shehu Choftes LePeretz. He mentions another cheshbon that's brought down in the Medrash in Shmois Rabbah, that's a different way of counting the Malachim starting from Avraham all the way until Tzidkiyahu. And according to this cheshbon, there are a few kings that are not mentioned, that were mentioned in the first cheshbon that he says, because the way that he calculates the amount of Malachim that there were in the first cheshbon goes according to how many kings actually ruled, and according to the second cheshbon, we're going according to the Doiris, how many Doiris there were from Avraham Avinu all the way until Tzidkiyahu. Now, according to the second cheshbon in Medrash Rabbah, what is being counted is Tesvav Doiris from Avraham all the way until Shloimei, because then the Malchus was at its peak. The moon begins to light up at the time of Avram, like it says in the Pasuk, Mi Heir, Mi Mizrach Tzedek. Even though in the Pasuk, Heir is written with an ayin, Al Tikra Heir, Ela Heir. And he explains how each one of the generations was Meir more and more. And after Shlomo HaMelech, things started to take a downward turn, until finally the Ur was extinguished at the time of Tzidkiyahu, Ves'enei Tzidkiyahu Iver. The Ur of the Levana was totally missing. So this is Keneged, the waning and waxing of the moon. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that this is the Oimik in the fact that when we say Kiddush Levana, we utter the words, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. And he explains that, Amaymer Azeh Al Derech Pshuta Ki Kara HaLevana B'Shem David. We are referring to the Levana with the name David, lefisha David ba mi peretz shehu kineged alavana, va'oid shalavana nikris hamo'or hakatan uchsiv b'David v'David hu hakatan. Two reasons why we refer to Levana as David. One is because Peretz is the ancestor of David. David comes from Peretz, and Peretz is kineged the Levana, and because the Levana is referred to as the mo'or hakatan, and David is referred to as katan. And when we say Chai V'Kayim, he says, Kavanosei Loimer Niris HaLevana. We could see the Levana now. So what is going on over here? Why are we being Medame David to the Levana, and there's an Inyan of Kiddush Levana, and we're excited that we can now see the Levana, and it's like the idea of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, we need a Hesber. So in order to understand all this, we have to go a little bit deeper. We have to try and understand what exactly the Inyan behind the Levana itself is. Why it is that Klal Yisrael is Moina La Levana, we learned that in the Parsha of Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. We have to understand why the Levana gets bigger and smaller, why we get excited when it reappears, and what exactly our tefillah of Yehi Or HaLevana Ka'or HaChama is. So let's begin with the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach Amud Beis. It's quoted by Rashi in Chumash on the Pasuk Vayasa Likim Es Shnei Ma'oris Hagdoilim. Hashem created two Ma'oris Hagdoilim. The sun and the moon were both referred to as Ma'oris, luminaries Hagdoilim, large ones. And then the Pasuk says Es Ha'Ma'or Hagdoil L'Memsheles Hayoyim Ves Ha'Ma'or Hakatoin L'Memsheles Halaylo. Shimon Pazi asks this stira. He says it first starts out referring to them both as Ma'or Hagdoilim, and then it refers to the moon as the Ma'or HaKatan. And he says, Amra Yareach Lefnei Akarish Baruch Hu, the moon said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Efshar Lishnei Malachim Sheishtamshu B'Keser Echad, is it possible for two kings to be mishtamish with one keser? So Hashem responded, Amar Lalachi Umyateh Es Atzmich, go and be Mamayit yourself. And that's why the Gemara explains that we're supposed to bring a kapara on every Rosh Chodesh so as to be mechaper kaviyachol for HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was memayet the yareach. Now, in order to understand this very obscure Gemara, we have to be makdim with the following. We all know that the Shemesh and the yareach have the relationship of mashpia and mekabel, meaning the Shemesh is mashpia. It sends off its rays. It has its own source of light and gives off its light. The Yareach, on the other hand, is Mekabel because it does not have its own source of light. It's just a reflection of the light of the sun. That's why the Zohar HaKadosh in Vayikra Yud Beis Amud Aleph refers to the Shemesh as Avicha and the Yireach as Imecha. Because as we know, the Zohar is always seen as Mashpia and the Nekeva is the Mekabel. The Lashon of the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet says Ki Halavana Ein La Oira Mitzad Atzma Ki Im Ma'ar HaShemesh. And he continues by saying that Lekach Tiknu Chazal B'Tfilas Yoitzer Or. This is the reason why the Chazal were misakin in the Tfilah of Yoitzer Or Ra'a VeHiskin Tzura Salvana. We say that in the Piyut of Kel Odoin. He says, Kloimar, Shehi Tzura Bilti Oira. It says, Rav Hiskin Tzura Salavana. All the Lavana is a Tzura that's waiting to be Mekabel the Or, but it's not a source of light. And he's medamed to the heat that barzel, that metal, gets when it's heated up from a fire. So it doesn't have its own heat. It's heat that was mekabel from the fire. And with this he explains the pasuk that says, V'hayu l'ma'oirois b'rekia shamayim, when referring to the sun and the moon, the word ma'oirois is written without a vav, as if it says ma'aras, because they're really one light. Shneim oir echad. And this is really the oimik as to why the Torah refers to the Shemesh as Ma'or HaGadol and the Yarech as Ma'or HaKaton. Because if these words are used to describe the actual Bria of the Shemesh and the Bria of the Yarech, then they have to be definitive terms. They have to be defining the essence of the Yarech and the Shemesh and not just talking relative to something else. Which presents us with the question, how could they be referred to as Ma'or HaGadol and Ma'or HaKaton? Is the Shemesh Be'etzem Gadol and the Yireach is Be'etzem Katon? Or when you're looking at each one in relation to the other, then you see the Shemesh as being big because it's bigger than the Yireach. Since the rule is that in the Bria Shemayim Va'aretz, the terms that are used are Be'etzem, they're the essence of the things that are being created, we have to try and understand why would we refer to the Shemesh as Ma'ar HaGadol. There has to be something inherent about the Shemesh that earns it the name Gadol, and something inherent about the Areach that earns it the name Katan. What is that? The answer is, based on what we just said, very simple. It's true that the word Gadol usually is used to describe the relationship between two things. So object A, if it's bigger than object B, we call it Gadol because it's bigger than the other object. But what we really mean to say when we describe it as being bigger than the other object is that it is not limited by the confines, by the limitations and the gvulim, the parameters of the smaller object. So if we were to try to figure out what we mean when we refer to one object, not in relation to something else, but rather inherently gadol, that would have to mean something that is constantly mispashet, meaning something that doesn't have limitations. Whatever doesn't have confines limiting it is called gadol. And it's for this reason that the word gedula is used to refer to chesed. We know that Hashem is called Hakel HaGadol, HaGibor VaHanoira. And as is mavur in the Gemara in Yuma, Gadol is referring to Hashem's chesed. Hashem also cannot be referred to in terms of being compared to other things. When we refer to Him as Gadol, why do we mean chesed? Because chesed is the idea that one can extend himself beyond boundaries. Katan, on the other hand, denotes something that is all about boundaries. If something has the ability to be mashpia, it's referred to as gadol. If something is totally mekabel, then it is called katan. This is why in halacha, a gadol who is soimich al shulchan aviv, he's only on the mekabel end, is referred to as a katan. Since the sun is not limited by any boundaries, it is mispashet. It sends its rays very, very far, so extending itself beyond its limitations is referred to as Hamor HaGadol. And since the moon has none of its own or to give off, it's only on the Mekabel end, it's referred to as Ma'or HaKatan. Now, in the original creation of the Shemesh and the Yireach, Hashem created the Yireach, which is the Mekabel from the Or HaShemesh, as a complete and total Mekabel. If the item, which is a reflection of the light of the sun, is capable of being a total mekabel, which means being mevatel itself fully to the mashpia, then it would have been able to function exactly like the Shemesh and would even have been the same size as the Shemesh. For example, if you were to take a light, a bright flashlight, and shine it directly into a mirror, you would see no difference between the light that is emanating from the flashlight and the reflection of light which is being thrown back at you from the mirror. That's because the mirror is functioning as a complete and total reflection. And in that matziv, the mirror becomes just as much of a mashpia as the light they're shining into it. However, Hashem, b'chachmasei amruba, did not want there to be a complete shleimus in the world. Because if there would be complete shleimus in the world, there would be no makim for the avodas ha'adam, for man to come and be mashlim and perfect the world. So the Ribbono Shel Olam set things up, l'chatchila, in a way that, number one, the potential for the levana was to be on the same level as the chama, because if it would do its job properly, meaning being misbatel entirely to the chama, then they would both be shnei hama'oris hagedoylim, because then essentially there would be absolutely no difference between the Shemesh and the Yireach. And number two, he purposely made the world an imperfect place such that the Levana can't really do that job completely. And the Kitrug, that it says that the Levana was Mekatrig and said, E'ef shel shnei malachim, she'ishtamshu bekeser echad, means that the Ribbono Shel Olam planted into the Bria itself the fact that the Levana has the Ratzin to feel its own existence, be its own Mashpia, and not be Batel to the Ar of the Chama. The Rabbeinu Bechai over there says, Keser, in this context, is a kinui for the Ar and the Zohar, the shine, the light and the shine. The Levana wants to be Mashpia, and the Levana doesn't realize that the only way for it to really be Mashpia is to be Mizbatel entirely to the Chama. And this imperfection is really a symptom of a greater imperfection that Hashem wanted. He wanted this world in general to be not perfect. And as we know, Hashem is referred to, Kishemesh Umogen Hashem Alekim, he's referred to as the Shemesh. The Levana is a kinoi for Knesset Yisrael. We are referred to as the Levana. And the fact that there is Ra in the world really stems from the fact that we have the need to feel our own existence as if we accomplish things. And we're not comfortable with being fully misbatel to Hashem and His Ratzin. And this is really the shoyrish of all Ra in the Bria. The Bnei Yisachar says that when Adam Rishon was choyte, it was because of the pitoy, the seduction of the nachash, and he says, Hanachash Hishiani. He persuaded me, convinced me. The word Hishiani has in it the letters Yesh and Ani. Hishiani, he caused me to try to feel my own existence and not be misbatel to the Ratzon Hashem. So when Hashem says, Haviu alai kapara, shemi atati esayereach, he doesn't mean chas shalom that he was choyte. It means a pegam that he purposely put into the bria. And on Rosh Chodesh, when we start feeling the ar of the levana, we bring that kapara. And that's why we daven Rosh Chodeshim la'am chanesata zman kapara l'chol tadoisam. All the Toldos of Am Yisrael have a zman kapara. B'yosim makrivim l'mfanecha zivchei rotzen r'si'ir echatas l'chaper ba'adam. For them, you're being mechaper for Klal Yisrael. Zikar and l'chulam yus shushuas nafsham yad soine. We are saved from the soine, which refers to the Yetzirah, like the Gemara is mevor in Sukkah daf nun beis mebeis, because the Yetzirah tries to give us the false sense that we're capable of acting on our own and not being misbatel to the Ratzon of Hashem. When the Levana starts functioning every month anew as a Mekabel, then we bring that Kapara. Now the truth is that this is somewhat of a pattern in Brias HaOlam, because this is not the only example where Hashem says something one way, and the way that it ends up happening is a different way. The other example of such a thing is on the third day of creation, where Hashem says, Tad Shei Ha'aretz Deshe, Eseb Mazria Zera, Eitz Peri Oise Peri. Rashi explains that the original tzivui was that the aretz should be moitzi, an eitz whose tam is ketam hapri. The tree itself and the fruit should have the same taste. Yet in Brias HaOlam itself, it says, Vatoitzi ha'aretz deshe, eiseb mazri azera lemineyu, ve'eitz oise pri. Rashi says, Vehi loy osis akein. The Adama did not do what Hashem told it to. Rather, it was moitzi, an eitz whose tam was not ketam hapri. Now, we know that an eitz is not a bal bechira. So what does it mean that it didn't listen to the tzivui of Hashem? Al-Karchach, what we mean to say is that Hashem originally gave a tzivui, which would have had it, that the eitz, which is the conduit, it is the means to get to a certain end, the hainu, the pri, would have behaved not as a metzias unto itself, rather it would have acted with complete hisbatlus to the metzias that it was coming to create. Hashem gave it a tzivui to be moitzi. Peiris, and if you could taste the Tama Pri and the Tama Eitz, that means that the whole Metzias of the Eitz is for that Tachlis. And it would even be called an Eitz Pri. The name of the Eitz would be Nikra Al Shem Eitz Tachlis, because it has no other Metzias than doing that Tachlis. But Hashem wanted there to be a Pegam and a Chsarin in the Bria, and therefore did not allow for things to happen that way. Just like we explained by the Levana. The Bria, the way that Hashem wanted it to exist in its imperfect form, was in a way that it should not be butl entirely to the Ratzon Hashem in order to accomplish its tachlis. And that's what it means when Rashi explains that when Adam was niskalo for his sin, nifkeda gamhi al avoyna, the Adamo was nifkeda, was punished also arura Adama ba'avurecha, which shows that the shorish of the pigam of the Adama and the shorish of the pigam of Adam HaRishon is really all one. Because like we said, the only reason why Adam would go against the tzivui of Hashem was in order that he himself should have a metzias. He should be a bal bechira. He should be able to accomplish on his own. V'yisim kelekim yoydei toivara. What he didn't realize is that the best way for you to be shalem is by being nizbatel entirely to Hashem and to his tzivui. And this is really the deeper meaning behind Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. Because this world is really meant to be a reflection of Hashem's Malchus. The whole purpose of this creation was in order that Hashem should be Melech over the world. But Al Yoinim, it's clear that there's Anhaga from Hashem as the Melech. But on this world, it's imperfect and it's waiting for the Tikkun. Malchusa da'ara is ke'ein malchusa d'rikia. It's meant as a mashal. And of course, la'asid lavoi, we're going to see that Hashem is going to be l'melech al kol ha'aretz. It's going to be Hashem echad u'shmo echad. The mekabel will be on the same level as the mashpia. There will be no difference between the or that exists in the elyonim and the or that exists in the tachtonim. The yud ke, which is the higher worlds, and the vav ke will be united. And this is our tefillah when we say Kiddush Levana, that v'yihi or ha'levana ka'or ha'chama. We're being mispalel that the tikkun should come. Now that ultimate tikkun is going to be brought about through Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David is referred to as an ani roichev al ha'chamor, because an ani has nothing of his own. And what's necessary in order to facilitate the complete hisgalus of Malchus Yisbarach is the type of Malchus, which is referred to in the Sfarim as Lesle Migarme Klum. He has nothing of his own, because all he is here for is as a Kli to be Mekabel the Ur Milamala. The whole purpose of Malchus Beis David is to function as a means for Hashem's Malchus to be apparent in this world. And that's why at the peak, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, there was a Ha'ara Me'ein La'asid Lavoi, which was Ishtachas Gafnoi, V'Ishtachas Te'inosoi. David HaMelech refers to himself, Anoichi Te'las V'loi Ish, complete and total bittel. In fact, the very name David is comprised of a Dalid, Vav, and a Dalid. Now the letter Dalid, as is Mavur, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Dalid Amid Aleph, symbolizes the idea of Dalus, which means poverty, Oini. David HaMelech felt himself like a dal in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are many references in Sefer Tehillim like that. The Ois Vav is the Ois that symbolizes Hashpah that is coming milamala. The letter Vav is used when you want to deal with adding on. You want to describe something that's being given to somebody, because it takes place of the word and. And then there's the second Dalet, which shows that no matter what Hashem gives him, he still remains the same dal. So of course we're mispalel during Kiddush Levana, when we daven to Hashem that the Ur Alvana should be Ka'ar HaChama, that we should see the big tikkun in the world, we mispalel David, Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. Kozman, we still see the Levana being mischadeshes every month. We still see the concept that the Bria still has the capabilities of being a Mekabel, and it's from this that Malchus Beis David will still be able to exist. Now we've already discussed in the past couple of daf that it's really Klal Yisrael who comes from the Olam HaTikun, the world of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, before this world was brought down to a matzav of Hester Ponim, and the Umas HaOlam come from Adam Rishon La'achar Achet. And that is the difference between Yaakov and Esav. And so we now can explain a very interesting maral in Netzach Yisrael Perek Yud Zayin. When he's referring to Esav and the nation of Edom, he explains, Shem Edom Roi El Esav. The name Edom is Roi for Esav, and that's why everything about him is red. As the Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah, Tavshiloi Edom, Arce Aduma, because Arce Seir, Sedei Edom, Giborev Adumim, says Gimogen Giboreo Me Edom, and says Maral, V'chol Zeh Mipnei, Ki Mekabel Koichoi Min HaChama, Asher Hi Aduma. Like it says in the Gemara Baba Basra, Pei Dalarum Abeis Hai Shimsha Sumkesahi. The Shemesh is red. There's a Nadmimus, there's a redness to the Shemesh. Esav is Roi to be called Edom because he's Nikra Al Shem the Chama. And what this means is that Esav has no interest in being Mizbatel. He wants to live with the facade of Olam Hazeh. As we already explained, the Olam HaTeva, Dosh Shav, Shabarasi Ba'ilami. The world which, since it's not Mizbatel totally to Hashem, there could be the mistake that there are other Koiches. There could be Kishuf, which is Makhish Pamal Yeshalmala. And this is the whole essence of Amalek, as we've explained. Amalek is the descendant of Esav, and Amalek is the one that wants to see this world running on its own. Just like the Levana. Ein shnei malachim mishtamshim b'keser echad. There's Malchusa d'ara and Malchusa d'rikia. There's Malchusa above, Hashem's Malchus, and there's this world. This world cannot be mishtamsh with the same keser. We cannot have Hashem hu ha'loikim. We can't have this world being mizbatel to the Ratzon ha'elyon, and thus being mishtamsh with the same keser as the elyonim. And that's why, until Amalek will be destroyed, it's kiyad al keis ka. The shame and the kisei are not shalim. Because as we've explained, the idea of the shame being shalim is that the vav hey, it makes the shame avaya complete. And that means the his galus of Malchusi is barach in the bria. And of course, this is the reason why it's the malchei based David that are mitzuveh to be moiche zare shel Amalek. Like the Ramban says, Shmois Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tezayin, Ki kasher yeh melech b'Yisrael yoshev al kisei Hashem yilochi ba'Amalek. What is a melech Yisrael? A melech Yisrael doesn't have his own kisei. He's a conduit for there to be giloi kvoid malchusi yisbarach in the bria. So he's naturally the one that's going to fight against Amalek. Malchei based David is the Levana. Levana is not red, the Levana is white. It's ready to be impacted by others. It's bittel. We now understand why it is Yahushua, who is Nimshal to Levana, is the first person in the Torah to fight against Amalek. Because Amalek is misnage to the whole inyan of being a Mekabel. And you find a fascinating thing in Rashi in the Parsha of Ayove Amalek. When Moshe Rabbeinu approaches Yahushua, he tells him, Bechar lanu anoshim. Choose for us, people, to fight against Amalek. Rashi says, Lanu li v'lecha, for me and for you. Hishveyu loy. Moshe Rabbeinu was mashve Yeshua to himself. Mikan, from here, Amru, Chazal said, Yihi kvoy talmidcha chavev alecha kishalcha. The covet of your Talmud should be chavev to you, should be dear to you like your own covet. Why is it that dafka, during the Melchemes Amalek, the Torah was megala, the concept of the Rav having to be mechabed his Talmud like his own covet? The teretz is because that melchama with Amalek is me'ain of the tikkun ha'asid, where the ur halavana is going to be ka'ur hachama. Once we get rid of Amalek, the shame is going to be shalim. This world is going to reflect kavod malchus yisbarach just as much as ne'elyonim. And since p'nei Moshe k'p'nei Chama, p'nei Yeshua k'p'nei Levana, the relationship between the Rav and Talmud is like the one of the Chama to the Levana, because it's the relationship of the Mashpia to the Mekabel, Moshe Rabbeinu is being meramis to the fact that through the avoida of Yeshua, the Talmud and the Rav, the Levana and the Chama, are all going to be the same, because the Giloi, through the ultimate Tikkun, is going to be one of Ur HaLevana ka'ur HaChama. Now this gives us a little bit of an insight into understanding the concept of Kala Omer Dover B'Shem Omrei Mevi Geula L'Olam. Somebody who says something over that he hears from somebody else, that means he was mekabel some information from a mashpia. And what he does with that is he tries to take the credit for it himself, which means that he's not functioning as a proper mekabel. He's not being faithful to the source of the hashpah. then he runs antithetical to the whole concept of Geula, since Geula ultimately will be the Giloy of Kvod Malchusi Yisbarach in the Bria, the time when Hashem Echad Ushmoy Echad will be Niskayim. We need to have a complete bittul to the source of the Hashpa. So the behavior of Kala Omer Dover B'Shem Omrei maybe Geula La'olam makes a lot of sense. And this is not the only time that we find Esther, who's nimshel to the Levana, because she's called El Shem Istaher, El Shem the Levana, acting not out of her own self-interest to give the covet to herself, but rather with total bittul. The other time that we find that is after Mordechai tells her, you realize that you're only here for one purpose, to bring about Geula. So don't start acting out of your own self-interest. The worst thing you could do is think about yourself, because that will generate your lack of tikkun, just like it happened by the Levana. So now we understand what the pasuk means when it says that when Esther went in, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Malchus means the madrega of Malchus, the idea of Dovr HaMelech, of Lesle Megarmei Klum, no self-interest whatsoever. And the Zohar HaKadosh says on Vatilbash Esther Malchus, since it doesn't say Bigdei Malchus, it's referring to that higher madrega of Malchus. It explains that's what brings about Ruach HaKodesh. So that's what our Gemara means when it says, Vatilbash Esther Malchus, Shalav Shasa Ruach HaKodesh. And the pasuk that Gemara brings down is the pasuk of Ruach Lav Shasa Masai Roisha Shalishim, Lecha David, V'imcha Ben Yishai, Shalom Shalom Lecha V'Shalom Lo Izrecha, which is a reference to the ultimate tikkun that comes about through Malchus Beis David.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.